something new.
Good morning.
There we are. Now I'm on. And welcome to First Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. We want you to know that. We do have a number of announcements to get through this morning. First of all, on Tuesday at 10 o'clock is our very first Breakfast with the Bible. We are not talking omelets. We are not talking, there might be a muffin or a donut, and hopefully some coffee. So we're doing that, but it's part of our Bible study. Normally, we've been doing things during Advent or Lent. I am hoping that our Tuesday morning Breakfast with the Bible will be ongoing. And so we'll do that even past Lent. So everyone is welcome for that. My plan right now is to do that because there's food involved, that we'll do that in the dining room. All right, so we'll be in the dining room 10 o'clock on Tuesday. On Thursday, we start our book discussion of the Great Spiritual Migration. Janet's going to lead us in that endeavor, our Director of Family Ministries. She will lead us in that. I'm going to lead the Bible's Breakfast with the Bible group. So that's going to be Thursdays at 7 o'clock, either in the ladies' parlor, or if we have too many people, we'll be in fellowship hall. Parlor. Janet believes we'll be in the parlor. If you'd like to participate in that book study, please see Janet because she has a free book for you. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. It's the start of Lent, and due to a couple of different things that are going on, we will not have an Ash Wednesday service here this year. If you would like to go to church for the start of Lent, we invite you to join another congregation, the congregation of your choice. It's just a one-year hiatus, all right? And we'll do something starting next time. The other thing is this. What I really like to do is to gather a group. I'm going to talk to the church council first, but at some point, I want to have a little ad hoc group about, A, what does Lent look like at First Congregational Church? So that the pastor, who will direct you, but will have also some guidance. So I want to know, because we're a congregational church, I want to know what the congregation is thinking. All right? And also, what I'd like us to start taking a look at is, what does church look like? And that's going to happen after Janet's book discussion. And we're going to have a group that will come together. What do our church services look like? So we'll work with the deacons. I'm going to talk more with the deacons about that. So things ahead. The wheels are turning. They're turning and churning. Chris Davies spoke to us last week about Super Saturday. If you are interested in hearing the talk from our keynote speaker, I did not write the name down, the name escapes me, come and see me after church. I'll be here for a little bit. And the last announcement that I have, I know Judy has one, the last announcement that I have is we have tickets for our corned beef dinner. That's going to be Saturday, March 22nd. Those are on sale those are on sale in after church. Just see Cindy. If you can't get to Cindy, call her. She's here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from 9 till 1. Judy.
There's no such thing as a free lunch, but we are going to have one. And I'd like to see you there. This is Christian Fellowship on March 12th. It's a Wednesday for lunch at noon. You do need to sign up. At coffee hour, you can sign up, or next week, Jean.
Are there any other announcements this morning? Hearing none, let us worship God.
Please join me in the call to worship. We come together, a community of faith. We have gathered to talk and listen to God.
May our faith shine in anticipation. God has invited us to this moment of meeting.
We share a new covenant of promise and hope. Our spirits have been set free for worship and praise.
We come with boldness to encounter our Creator. We assemble here, eager to be changed by God.
Our fears melt into awe and wonder before God. Our failures become opportunities for learning.
Let us praise God's holy name in chorus. Let us share in the glory of life.
What a gift.
Please join me in our opening hymn, Lord Jesus, Think on Me, number 326 in the blue room.
362.
Okay, it's backwards on here.
All right. 362. Spirit, restoring life and energy. By the grace of God, we are forgiven. Amen. You may be seated. As we mentioned during the announcements, Lent starts on Wednesday. So, the Sunday before Ash Wednesday, if you follow the cycle called the lectionary of readings, we remember Transfiguration Sunday. What does Transfiguration mean? Let's see if I can do this for some of our younger people and for people who maybe will be in the know. Let's see how many of you know this. There is a toy that changes. And it looks like one thing, but you can move some parts and it turns into another. What's that called? Transformers. Even some of the older children knew that one. So because you bought them for your children or your grandchildren. That's right, Transformers. So things that they look like one thing and they transform into another. But today we have another big word, transfigure. So I looked up the definition of what does it mean to transfigure as compared to transform. Transform, it's still the same thing, but it looks like something else. When something transfigures, it changes into something beyond that and into a thing of beauty. And it may have a special glow around it. So today, in our church school classes, we're going to take a look at what it means to transfigure for us. What does it mean to you? What does it mean for us? And what will you do with it today as you go forward? Please pray with me. Holy and loving God, we ask you to be with our young people and those who guide them this day. May they continue to learn of the ways of your Son, to be educated in matters of faith. We ask this in the name of the Transfigured One, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Off you may go to church, school, classroom.
We turn our attention to the Word of God.
Our first reading is from the book of Exodus. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him and gave them all the commands the Lord had given to them on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. When Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. Our God is still speaking.
Thanks be to God.
Please join me in a responsive reading from Psalm 99. The Lord reigns, let the people tremble. The Lord is enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth shake.
The Lord is great from Zion, and is high above all peoples.
Let them confess your name, which is great and awesome. You are the Holy One.
Holy is God, lover of justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob.
Proclaim the greatness of the Lord our God, and fall down before the footstool of God. The Lord is the Holy One.
Moses and Aaron among your priests, and Samuel among those called upon your name. They call upon you, O Lord, and you answer them.
You spoke to them out of the pillar of cloud, and they kept your testimonies and the decree that you gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them indeed. You were a God who forgave them, yet punished them for their evil deeds.
Proclaim the greatness of the Lord our God, and worship upon the holy hill of God. For the Lord our God is the Holy One.
A reading from Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth. Since then, we have such a hope. We act with complete frankness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil is there. It is not unveiled, since in Christ it is set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds, and when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. Our God is still speaking.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Luke. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on a mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking about his exodus, which was about to be fulfilled in Jerusalem. Now, Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but as they awoke, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us set up three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not realizing what he was saying. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
In case you missed the news flash, it is the 60th anniversary of the movie The Sound of Music. I know where you thought I was going, but that's...
It's the first movie that I believe I saw in the theater. As my parents took the four oldest, I'm number four, to a matinee and then to dinner at the Lennox House. Obviously, it is my first memory because I can tell you where we ate. I remember the intermission thing going across the screen and the curtains actually closing at the Capitol Theater in Pittsfield. Those are the things. Now, I only remember these things, I don't know, I was four. It's one of the first memories I have. But I do know at the Lennox House I got lost. And I thought somebody else was myself from behind my mother. My mother had just dyed her hair, and I was like, oh, that's the same color as my mother's now. And I went to this woman, not my mother, anyway. Let's go back to the movie. The opening of the film is the title song. Maria sings of the hills as a place that holds music. A place to go when our heart feels lonely. She wants to laugh like a brook in all kinds of metaphoric language. Who can forget that opening panoramic scene as she twirls around without a worry or a care in the world? Now, mind you, she had wandered off from the cloistered convent to which she had to return. The bells of the abbey brought her back to reality, and she knew she must return to the work at hand or to whatever they had meant at that point, whether they were calling them to prayer, to work, their lives worked off of those bells. Don't worry about the bells, but it's the idea of going to the hills to seek solace or solitude. And that idea is ancient. With songs they have sung for 1,000 years. Even the psalmist in Psalm 21 references, I lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence shall come my help? Some say it is the psalm that the Hebrew people sang or recited as they approached the hills of Jerusalem. Even Moses ascended Mount Sinai to get the commandments and to communicate with God, as we heard in the first reading today. Jesus also would take the chosen 12 to the hills when he wanted to teach them or to pray with them. So, on this particular day, Jesus took only Peter, James, and John with him. We hear more about these three than any other of the apostles, with the exception of Judas in the Passion narratives. We encounter James and John, the sons of thunder or the sons of Zebedee, in previous readings as they asked for seats of honor with Jesus in the kingdom. Well, apparently, Jesus had some great plans for these three. He brought them with him for this momentous event, and what an event it was. It is here that these three, as well as us, see the Son of God as the Creator sees him. It is here that Jesus is not just transformed, but transfigured into something or someone that even the apostles could not have fathomed. In an event that resembles today's lesson from Exodus, Jesus shone. However, he did not hide himself from the apostles, and they were able to serve as witnesses. In Mark's gospel, Jesus tells them not to speak of this to anyone, but in Luke's version, it says that they did not speak of it at this time. And apparently, they did tell about what they witnessed, as it is included in all three synoptic gospels. So we mean we're talking about Matthew, Mark, and Luke. If we had been there, we may have wanted to stay on top of that hill or a mountain
to bask in the glory of Jesus. We may have come to the conclusion that we have officially seen it all, and we don't need to come back down. But as believers, we are always beckoned to come back down from the mountain, or to leave the confines of a sacred place, and to go out and spread the good news in whatever way we can. I would venture to guess that Peter, James, and John wanted to stay put. What would they do with this new information that they had? Wouldn't it be easier to stay where they were? Well, yes, it could have been easier, but life isn't always about what is easy. As people who practice Christianity, we are called to not only live our own lives in order to follow the gospel message, but we are called to live that out for others as we give witness to what we have been taught. It is well and good for us to come and take some time on a retreat, be it in the mountains, the lake, the ocean, forest, or wherever we find comfort. It is good for us to come to church to gather, to seek support from one another, to pray, to do what we do in church, to sing, to offer what we can to God. But we as Christians are always called back to the world in which we live. My prayer, especially as we approach the sacred season of Lent, is that we can all take some time on the mountain, wherever that may be for you. It may have to be makeshift if you cannot get to your usual spot. Go to the hills. Go to God when your heart is lonely. See if you can be transfigured with Christ. If you're feeling good, still take some time for yourself so that you can minister to a friend who may not be feeling it this week. Lately, many people are anxious, upset, confused, and even angry, while some others don't see with all the fusses. The reality, though, is this. We are called to bring good news to the poor. This means not only the ones who are in financial need, but to those who are spiritually, emotionally, or physically poor. And we talked about that last week. We are called to be people of the Transfiguration. Those who can bring the message of Jesus Christ, who preached the unconditional love of God for those who seek it, and even for those who don't. It is there for the taking. Let me say this as your pastor, minister, teacher. If you need me, reach out to me, please. It might be a busy week, but all of you, all of you, come before any play or theatrical production I may be involved with. All right? I mean that sincerely. Our churches are called to transfigure with Christ, to be places where the gospel message can be upheld. Let us work to bring that with us wherever we go. Amen. Let's take just a moment of quiet reflection. As we come to prayer this morning, we are ever mindful of those prayer requests that are listed in our worship guide, as well as the needs of our nation, our world, and those around us. And of course, we remember those prayers and requests that remain in the silence of our hearts, known only to us and to God. And may God be with you.
And also with you.
Please pray with me. It is a strange time of year, O God. We linger between the seasons of Epiphany and Lent, and we are between the joy of your appearing and the horror of your undoing at the hands of those who would not or could not embrace your way of life. Perhaps we, like Peter, James, and John, wait for your appearance in dazzling light and unmistakable clarity. We are in need of a glimpse of Jesus, who is the way through the mix and mess of this life. Our planet is fragile, and so is the life that claims it as home. We wonder how long we can simply take what we want with little regard for what it costs your creation. Renew and restore a vision of care for your creation. Remind us to take what we need and no more. Encourage us in a countercultural faithfulness that is not about consumerism. Spur us with a new insight and deeper understanding that we may live mindfully each day, conscious of the impact of what we do and fail to do. We pray for the people of the world whose names we will never know, whose faces flash across their TV screens and computer screens in anonymity born of numbers, those who bear the weight of Earth's pain. We are in need of a glimpse of Jesus, who is the truth that is love, that love is stronger than hate. Peace is possible, and life can emerge, even in the midst of devastation. And we pray for that truth to be known. We are in need of a glimpse of Jesus, who is the life, inviting us to follow in his footsteps as he trod the way of love and justice, inviting us to follow him in prayer as he lived out his faith and made you known. We give thanks for the good news that unfolds in the world as people dream your dreams, follow your nudging, and seek you in the faces they meet each day. Perhaps, O God, it is the only transfiguration we really need. For all those who are quiet witnesses to your love and way of life, we give thanks, O God. And as the season of Lent approaches, we ask you to draw us to a rhythm as it unfolds in our midst, a sacred invitation to explore the corners of our soul. Open us to your light that we might see ourselves clearly with all our fears and faults and faith, with all our desires and dreams and duties. Help us to see our journey as a place of your appearing, that, like Peter, James, and John, we may come down from the mountain and set one foot in front of the other in your name and for your sake. Amen. My friends, how much the church could accomplish with greater resources, how our shared ministry could blossom if our thanksgiving to God exceeded our fears and greeds and ambition. We have taken a small step toward faithfulness in coming to this mountaintop, but will we now be open to let God transform our giving? With that, our morning offering will now be received.
Thank you.
to act on your behalf. It is an honor to share with others what you have entrusted to us. Our offerings represent ourselves and the depth of your commitment. We rededicate to you the talents, abilities, and resources you have placed in our hands. May we be faithful in our mutual ministry. Amen. You may be seated. Blessed be God, who feeds the hungry, who raises the poor, who fills our praise. All are welcome at the table of the Lord. Let all who seek, believe, or want to believe come to the table. And may God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God Most High. It is indeed right to give you our thanks and praise, O God, for your transfiguring light has come over us and is restoring within us the image of your glory. When you created the universe, you said, "Let light shine out of darkness," and the heavens lit up in your testimony to your justice. Through the law and prophets, your light has shone forth, and your word has never fallen silent. On a high mountain, you pulled back the veil of heaven, and as Moses and Elijah passed on their mantles to the one in whom your saving word is fulfilled, you allowed the incomparable glory of your Son to be seen by his terrified disciples. He was killed by those who would not listen to you, but after you raised him from the dead, you sent the winds of heaven upon us with an extravagant outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Therefore, in grateful procession of endless praise, with the church that is and was and shall be forever, we glorify you in song. Lord, you are holy indeed, and all creation rightly gives you thanks and praise. All life, all holiness comes from you through your Son, Jesus the Christ. From age to age, you gather a people to yourself, so that from east to west, north and south, a perfect offering may be made to the glory of your name. And we bring you, O God, these gifts, that we ask you, make them holy by the power of your Spirit. We pray that they may become our spiritual nourishment, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave us this gift at that last Passover meal he celebrated with his disciples. In the midst of that meal, Jesus took bread, but dispensed with the regular blessing. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take this, all of you, and eat it.
"This is my body, which will be given up for you. Whenever you do this, do it in memory of me." When it came time to share the cup, Jesus again dispensed with the regular blessing. He gave the cup to his disciples and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. Whenever you do this, do it in memory of me." Through the broken bread, we participate in the body of Christ. And through the cup of salvation, we participate in the blood of Christ. So come, for all things are ready.
Ministering to you in his name, I give you the bread.
Thank you.
come. Please join with me in the prayer of thanksgiving as found in your worship guide. We give you thanks, Lord Jesus Christ, for the gifts of grace we have received from your hand. Now send us forth to reflect your light, proclaiming your saving death and resurrection until you come again for glory. Amen. Lord lives, listen to Christ and follow him from the places of revelation to the places of mission. And may God shine the light of glory into our hearts. May Christ be with us and never leave us. And may the Spirit renew the image of God within you as we go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.